Okay, welcome back to our second week here on the new series we started last week, which is called Follow the Yellow Brick Road. And in case you weren't here last week, then what we did, I'm just going to recap last week in 2 minutes, in case you missed out, is that we agree that many of us are kind of like Dorothy, all right? And I hope all of you have seen the movie, and you know that Dorothy is just kind of hanging out in Kansas one day, and then a tornado kind of comes into her life and whips a bunch of stuff around. Next thing she knows, she finds herself in the wonderful land of Oz. And we said that many of us are kind of that same way, where through a series of circumstances, whether school, job, friend, shoot, some of you may be here today just kind of off the street, just kind of someone invited you to come or whatever, that all of us ended up here in this place. May not know why we're here, but like Dorothy, we know that there is a reason why. Because, like I said last week, call me biased, I'm definitely biased, but I believe this is the most special and just all-around bestest place in the whole wide world to be, here at St. Mark's Church. And I don't believe that I'm here for no reason, and I don't believe that you're here for no reason. I believe that each one of us is here for a very specific thing. And kind of like the characters in the movie, you had the four people, and each one of them was kind of, they thought they were seeking something different. You know, Dorothy wanted to get back to Kansas, the lion wanted courage, one wanted a heart, one wanted a mind. They each thought they were seeking different things, but the answer for them was really the same thing, which is, as we just saw in the cute little song, which is to follow the yellow brick road. And as long as they follow the yellow brick road, they'll each find what it is they're looking for. You are here, and you think you are here just for a job, but you're not here just for a job. You think you're here for school, but you're not here just for school. You think you're here because of whatever circumstance, but the bottom line is that simply ain't true. You are here, and if you follow the yellow brick road, okay, you will find the answer. And we said last week that the reason that you're here, why am I here, is God placed you here to enter a new phase in your relationship with Him. Okay, and we talked about this in detail last week, about how God, no matter where you are, wants something new from you. God doesn't like old stuff. He likes new stuff. So He brought you here. He looked at your life. He said, look here, you're Dorothy, you're the lion, you're the whatever. I'm going to bring you, I'm going to put you here. And the reason why is because I want you to take the next step in your relationship with Me, regardless of where you are. How to find the wizard, how to find the answer to our problem was the yellow brick road for us, we said, is the New Year's themes. Every year here at St. Mark's, whether you know it or don't know it, we get together on New Year's Eve, December 31st, and we have like a night of prayer. And we always ring in the new year together with like a New Year's theme. And every year we focus on something like all together as one family. And what we discovered, okay, and looking back on it, is that every single year, like really God is the one who kind of designed it. Because when you go back, and that's what we're doing in this series, going back and looking at the past 7 years from 2001 up to 2007 and seeing all the different bricks that God has laid in this path. These bricks make up who we are. Okay? You can't know St. Mark's Church without knowing these New Year's themes. Because they make up who we are, and they will make us special. And that's why things like, even today in the sermon, I referenced self-examination. I was talking about that. If you don't know what that is, then you're missing something. Okay? Like, you're not necessarily on it, like, you can't just start anywhere on the yellow brick road. You gotta go brick by brick. So that's what this series is all about, is to go back from the very beginning, okay, and start walking that path and seeing what the bricks are. And believe me, everyone builds on the one before. That's how God does it. And each one is like an essential brick in the path. Okay? So we started last week by talking about in 2001 the theme. And the theme in 2001 was? Theme in 2001 was? Unity. Very, very good. Some people was awake. Was unity. And we talked about last week how if we're going to walk on a road, we would much rather walk with others. Because walking by yourself is scary at night, and there's witches of the east and west and all that kind of stuff. And you never know what's going to jump out at you. So we'd rather walk together. And we talked about last week how if you want the power of God in your life, the fullest power of God, You must be walking in unity together with the body of Christ. When the Holy Spirit wanted to come down in all its power, it did it when they were united together. Not individually, but together is when the Holy Spirit comes down. And what we saw last week is that the Holy Spirit, like a criteria for the Holy Spirit to work, is unity. Because the Holy Spirit can't be split 50-50. Right? As we said last week, is that if you guys go over there and you guys go over there and you both want the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit can't, like, you know what I mean? Like, can't do like that. So, like, either you guys get together and I come to you guys, or you're on your own and do what you want. But Holy Spirit needs there to be unity together. So before we said, this is what we said last week, before we go anywhere, we go together. I don't know where we're going. I don't know where this path is going to lead. But one thing I know is we're going to go together. That's what we agreed. Okay? And we said our role in that, Ephesians 4:3 was our theme verse, which is to make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. And we talked about what that means, at every effort to make, to keep that unity of the spirit, regardless of what it is they got to swallow. So, we agree, the path won't be easy. The path is generally upward, okay, on this yellow brick road. So therefore, we need to be on it together. If you remember in the movie, the path started off, like we just saw how the path started. Skipping and singing and all kinds of fun stuff. But if you know how the movie goes, it isn't long before she experiences difficulties, forks in the road, all kinds of situations with the Wicked Witch of the West and all that kind of stuff, where she's very thankful that she had people to support her. Especially the closer that she got to the Wizard of Oz, the more she needed support. Just watch.
Wait a minute, fellas. I was just thinking, I really don't want to see the wizard this much. I'd better wait for you outside.
What's the matter? Oh, he's just as scared again.
Don't you know the wizard's going to give you some courage?
I'd be too scared to ask him for it.
Well, then we'll ask him for you.
I'd sooner wait outside.
Why? Why?
Because I'm still scared.
What happened?
Somebody pulled my tail.
You did it yourself. Come on.
Come forward!
Tell me when it's over.
I like that scene very much, because if you were paying attention to it, you saw that, like I said, as you get closer and closer to the wizard, things become a little bit more difficult. But they did something very, very nice right there. If you saw at the beginning, they were just walking next to each other. But then when the lion guy got scared and he didn't want to ask, and he said, we'll ask and stuff like that, they did something. What did they do? Yeah, they did like that. So before, they were just walking like this and next to each other. And then the next thing they did was they, like, interlocked. That's the next thing we need to do as well. Unity is very important. And it's very important that we start this road together. But there's a specific kind of unity that is the next step for us. What's the theme for 2002? The theme for 2002 was prayer. And what we're going to see today is that while unity is very, very important, there are different kinds of unity. Like, we can be united by our common interests. We both like the Redskins. We can be united by, like, we serve together. Or we went to, like, a thing together. Or we can be united by our culture. Or we eat the same food. Or we have the same bad jokes. Or whatever it may be that unites us. That's not the kind of unity that's going to get you down the yellow brick road. The kind of unity that we need is this kind of unity, which is the unity in prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 is our theme verse from 2002, which says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Last week we saw we need unity. And we defined unity okay, as we need to be united with others through God. Remember? That's what we said last week. United with others, or to others, I'm sorry, through unity with God. Unity to others through unity with God. The only way to have the real depth in unity, okay, is that each one of us, I'm united to God, and you're united to God, so by default, we're united to each other. How does that unity between me and God take place? It takes place through prayer. Prayer is what unites us to God. Outside of prayer, if our unity is not in prayer, there's no depth. It won't last. It's exactly like a marriage that's built just on the physical characteristics. It may be nice, and it may be good for a while, but it's not really going to last in the long run. Same thing with us. I'm not saying that we should be united because he's nice boy and she's nice girl and we hang out and we eat at Red Robin and stuff like that. That's not our unity. Our unity is in prayer. We have to understand what that means. Because unity in prayer, whether you know it or don't know it, is the strongest force in the world. There's nothing more powerful. The single strongest element in the history of the world, in existence, is when the people of God are united together in prayer. No one can touch that. The devil can't touch that. That's why the devil fights against it so much. He can't stop it, but what he can do is try to make it so that it doesn't ever take place. Because he knows when that happens, look out below. What he wants us to do is keep our relationships at a surface, at a nonsense level. Joking and laughing and this and that, but never getting any depth. And as much as he can succeed in that, he can succeed in slowing down the church. But when we're united in prayer, there's no stopping us. Can anyone think of an example of when miracles happen, when people of God is united together in prayer? Man, there's a very, very clear example that I'm sure most of you know, but some of you may not know, which is a little place in Egypt called Mukattam. It's a mountain. Back in the early part of last century, or like the early to mid part, basically, I won't tell you the whole story, it's a long story. Long story short, there were some people in Egypt, okay, and the bad guys, the government guys, basically wanted to call them out. And they said, your Bible says that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Prove it. Okay, and they were just basically trying to dog Christianity and do all kinds of bad stuff to Christianity. People of God didn't know what to do. So what did the people of God do? They united together in fasting and in prayer. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and believe it or not, you can even go check the history books, okay, says that that day, the mountain was moved. A real mountain really moved, okay? And I'm not telling you the whole story, it's a much more grand story, but just for the sake of time. They say that in front of all the people, the bad guys came and said, okay, your time is up, we need to see a mountain move today. And the people of God prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and what happened? A real mountain really moved. So there is such a thing as mountain-moving prayer. Okay, it has been proven that there is such a thing. And what we want to figure out today is, what does that mean? What does it mean when I say unity in prayer? And what does it look like when the body of Christ, forget about the body of Christ, when me and you, forget about the whole body, we talk about thousands of people, forget about thousands of people, when me and you and the guy next to you, what does it look like when we're united together in prayer? Three characteristics of unity in prayer. The first one, the basis for united prayer, is an individual life of prayer. Before we can talk about the power of our group prayer and the unity in our group prayer, it has to be built on an individual life of prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he spoke about prayer, said it begins when you're by yourself. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There's no doubt that prayer, okay, must begin in that inner room. Doesn't necessarily end in the inner room, but it must begin in that inner room. And what gives power to our group prayer is the strength of the individual prayers. But I got news for you. If there's no individual prayers, I don't care. Pray all you want for mountains. Do all you want. We can gather here together all night long. If there's no individual, the group isn't going to be much. The reason why is our individual prayer life, what it does is it makes everything else work. It's like the assumption at the bottom of the equation. God says that His Spirit is here in the church. God says that His Word of God is life-giving and sharper than any two-edged sword. All these promises that the Bible has, if there's no prayer, they're all like null and void. Because the prayer is what gives the Spirit the avenue to work. The prayer is what sharpens the sword of the Word of God. The prayer is what gives power to our group time together. The liturgy is not a group of people coming together trying to figure out how to get close to God. The liturgy is a group of people who is already praying individually, and it's harnessing all them group prayers into one like mega prayer or super concentrated prayer that like busts stuff up. But if there's no individual, then what are we harnessing? So you say, okay, no problem. I pray every day. I prayed in the shower this morning. I prayed when that light turned red on me and I ran through it and that a cop wouldn't come and give me a ticket. I prayed. I pray before a meal. I pray all the time. That's not the kind of prayer that moves mountains. Okay? Okay? The kind of prayer that moves mountains, back to our theme verse, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, there's certain characteristics of it. I'll just touch on them. The two words that stick out at me that don't describe that prayer that I just described is earnestly and vigilant. Okay? Earnestly and vigilant. Vigilant, first of all, means doesn't stop when the cop goes away. Vigilant is something that keeps on happening, keeping a vigil. That's why I'm saying it's not individual prayer, it's individual life of prayer. Earnestly means not routinely, means like diligently, means like in the spirit, means with life. That's the kind of prayer that moves mountains. I hope that our first step that we can make today in terms of unity in prayer is we can all make a commitment to this. That we can all make a commitment to be strong in our own individual life of prayer. I think most of us, if you're like me, okay, you know you should pray. You really, really want to pray. And you probably start off many prayers. Very good earnest prayers. I don't know how many earnest prayers I've begun in my life. But then something kind of happens, like the mind starts to wander, like you heard a sound outside and you got distracted, or the phone rang, or had to blow your nose, or I'm telling you, some of the stuff that goes in my head during prayer, like stuff I never think all throughout the rest of my life, comes to me in prayer. Like randomest stuff, remembering, what's his name from second grade, and all, just random stuff. Because the devil knows that's the source of power. So the second you start to pray, no doubt about it, you will be distracted. Okay? I'm telling you that there's not one time that I make it through a prayer that my... Where's the tissue? I gotta blow my nose. And I go back to prayer and then... Gotta blow the bathroom. And then all kinds of distractions. But what I'm saying is, what we need to make commitment is to be earnest and vigilant. That we fight through the distractions. What I believe is, like, each one of us has like a ceiling for prayer. And we can get up to that ceiling, but then something stops us from getting over that hump. Okay? And that's why we start to pray and then we get distracted, we hit the ceiling, and we kind of taper back down. Oh, well, I gave it my best shot. And maybe I'll try again tomorrow, hit the ceiling. Oh, well, come back down. Look, I promise you, everything good in life is on the other side of that ceiling. Everything. Everything good in life is on the other side of that ceiling. We need to bust that ceiling. Some of your ceiling is here, some of your ceiling is here. I don't know where it is. But I know that on the other side of it is where everything that's good in life appears. So don't be content with the ceiling. I don't care if you've had that ceiling for 20 years. The people who moved the mountain hit ceilings and busted ceilings. And then they found another ceiling, and they busted that next ceiling. And they kept going and going and going and going up. That's the kind of prayer that we need as well. You've heard the term prayer warriors, right? Prayer warrior is a very good term, because that's what prayer is. St. Anthony once said, I'm not sorry, not St. Anthony. one of the Desert Fathers, it might have been St. Anthony, I'm not sure, but that the true measure of prayer is not in the comfort that you get from it, but in the toil that you put into it. Catch that one? The true measure of prayer, or success in prayer, or whatever it is you're trying to measure, is not in the comfort received, it's in the labor given, the toil that you did. Because we're supposed to be prayer warriors, not prayer relaxers, or prayer enjoyers, or prayer skippers along the road. Okay? Prayer is like a fight. Okay? And prayer is something that you have to be, like, it's not an easy thing. When I think of prayer, I think of like Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord Jesus Christ. That didn't look like a fun day. It didn't look like a stroll in the park. It looked like war and battle and blood, sweat, and tears, literally. And that's the kind of mentality we need to have in prayer. There's a lady named Elizabeth Elliot, and she wrote the following about prayer. People who ski, I suppose, are people who happen to like skiing, who have time for skiing, who can afford to ski, and who are good at skiing. Recently, I found that I often treat prayer as though it were a sport, like skiing. Something you do if you like it, something you do in your spare time, something you do if you can afford the trouble, something you do if you're good at it. But prayer isn't a sport, it's work. Prayer is no game. Prayer is the opposite of leisure. It is something to be engaged in, not indulged in. It's a job you give priority to. It's performing when you have energy left for nothing else. I think that summarizes it best. First commitment we have to make is that we are committed to our individual life of prayer. And when we hit the ceiling, that we keep on going. And the only way we're going to have true unity in prayer is when we have that power in our individual prayer. It begins there, but it doesn't end there. Okay? That's only the first step. The second step in the united prayer is praying together, as you could have guessed. You see, the first lesson about prayer was in Matthew 6. Go into the secret room. The second lesson about prayer was in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. A verse that we all know, we often quote, but unfortunately, we don't often, enough at least, tap into its true power. There's power in individual prayer, but there's more power, I should say, when you take it to the next step. Prayer is like a progression, okay? And prayer begins in the inner room, but it doesn't end there. When our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, the model prayer, he said, say, Our Father. Because we should, and it's not always my Father. And prayers aren't always about my Father. Prayers have to be our Father. If God is really our Father, there are times when I see my Father in a one-on-one like sense. And I meet him and I discuss stuff with him one-on-one. But not all my interaction with him is one-on-one. A lot of my interaction is as the brothers and sisters together, and we go and we say our Father. So we need this and we need that. And either of the two extremes is no good. If it's only group or it's only individual. I was reading a nice analogy about group prayer and individual prayer. It says that as a tree, it's making it like a progression. It begins with the individual and goes to the group. As a tree begins with its roots hidden in the ground, deep in the ground, which no one can see. But it doesn't end right there. It then has the stem or the trunk that is out there, and that's what leads to the leaves. Same thing in our prayer. It begins with the private and the individual, but it doesn't end there. It has to stick out above the ground. If you look at what's the thing that makes us the most different from the early church, what makes the church of today the most different than the early church, I would say it's power in united prayer. Like group praying with power and fire and all that kind of stuff. Because when they got together to pray, there was a real life-changing power there. We discuss prayer. We have retreats about it. We have meetings about it. We listen to CDs about it. We listen to other people pray. But what's lacking is that we get down on our hands and knees and have that kind of prayer together. Because that's the prayer But like I said, that the world has never seen a power like that power. So, unity in prayer. Step one, individual life of prayer. Step two, praying together. But step three is really where you take that important step that makes this like a long-term thing, not a one-time thing. Step three, and you may not understand this, but I'll explain it, is doing all in the name of Jesus. Again, back to our verse there, Matthew 18:20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. It's my hope that one day we get to the point where we can say that everything we do is in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? That means that whether we're praying, we have a prayer meeting, or whether we're playing basketball, whether we're eating at a restaurant, or we're sitting in the parking lot waiting for a ride, we're talking on the phone, or we're on the IM or on the text message, wherever we are, whatever we're doing all in the name of Jesus. I'll give you a couple more verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Next verse. I like this one. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You know what the name of the Lord is? Okay, according to this verse, the name of the Lord should be our hangout spot. Okay? It should be the place that when we get together, that's our meeting spot. We meet there and then we figure out where to go. Remember back in like Saved by the Bell? They always went to the Max. Okay? No matter what time of day or school or classes or summer, this and that, you meet at the Max. If you guys are not Saved by the Bell, maybe you got the Peach Pit. Okay? What is it called? What's happening? Shirley's Place, whatever that place is called. Whatever it's called. There's a meeting place that we go to, and we know this is where we meet, and then we go other places. That's what the name of the Lord is for us. Hey, we're going to get together to play basketball. Where are we going to meet? Let's meet in the name of the Lord, and then we'll go from there. Hey, we're going to go out to a movie. We'll meet in the name of the Lord, and then we go together from there. That's our refuge. That's where we start, and that's where we end. That's where we pick each other up and drop each other off, and that's where we live, in the name of the Lord. What that means is, when I say, a few weeks ago, Bunim Shori came here and talked about being an ambassador for Christ. And I imagine that some of you were here, some of you were not there. Point of it all is when I come to you and I say, I'm coming, if I'm an ambassador, in the name of whatever, King, what's his name from whatever country? King George, okay? I'm coming in the name of King George. That means that King George might as well be here, okay? Because if I'm coming in his name, and I'm signing something in his name, and I'm talking in his name, it means he might as well be here. There's no difference between me and King George. I hope that can be the same thing with us in the name of the Lord. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. Unity in prayer means that, and this is what I hope, this is where we can take the next step. We start individual prayer. We go and we pray together. We share our needs with one another, and we're not scared to pray for one another. But then beyond that, what makes it a lasting change is when everything is done in the name of the Lord. Whether we gather on Sundays or on Mondays, on Saturdays or on Fridays, whether it's morning or night, whether it's spiritual or it's social, whether it's nonsense or whatever it may be, we do it all in the name of the Lord. Let's make our first goal when we get together to like invite the Lord to be with us. And ain't nothing wrong with a group praying together, nothing wrong with praying together before or whatever. Let's make it our goal that everything is done in that spirit of prayer. And we'll pray together, like I said, when times are good, when times are bad. We'll pray when we're rich, we'll pray when we're poor. We'll pray in sickness, we'll pray in health. Till death do us part, we will pray together, and everything we do will be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. The result of an individual life of prayer, of group prayer, doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, what's the result? That's very easy. Answered prayer. Not my words, the words of the Bible. Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, the same verse. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Very simple. When the people of God get together, when they have the individual life of prayer, get together and pray, do everything in the name of the Lord, there is special power in that, that like I said, it can't be matched by anything else. Do you know why that is? Why is it that this promise is there for group prayer, but it's not there for individual prayer? You know why? What's the most important criteria for answered prayer? It's faith, right? You have faith as a mustard seed, you can move mountains and stuff. Faith. Well, here's the thing about the group prayer, when there's this unity in prayer. There's times my faith is weak, and your faith may be weak as well. But when we have this unity in prayer, what God does is He takes like a loan of faith. Okay, He like allows so-and-so to lend me faith, like in case I don't have enough to cover this prayer, He takes from that guy and He spreads it out over us. Isn't that what happened in the story of the paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2, where you had the guy who was the paralyzed and the four friends took him, and Christ said, because He saw their faith, He healed that man. When there's that unity together, God will take the faith and spread it out. That's why, like I said, unity in prayer is the strongest force in the world. There's nothing stronger than when the people of God are united together in prayer. Let the devil do what he wants. He can't defeat this power. He cannot defeat the power when the people of God is united together. I can only imagine what would happen in this church when all of us are truly united in prayer. When all of us have that individual life of prayer, when we're sharing our needs with one another and praying for one another, and then everything that we do is in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine what would happen? Think the world would look the same? Think Fairfax County would look the same? I don't think so. Now, some of you hear what I'm saying right now and say like, yeah, right. Like, okay, those are nice words and stuff like that, but come on. What do you expect? Like, what's going to happen? How can we be, like, we're united, we're kind of close for stuff like that. Yeah, we don't be praying together all the time and stuff like that, but you know, we hang out, we don't do bad stuff. Forget about unity of the church. Talk about unity of your group in prayer. Like your little circle that gets together and does whatever, this and that. If that little group is united in prayer, what do you think would happen? You know, I bet you there's a lot of people who, when the whole Mukutta Mountain thing, people said, you know what, if we unite in prayer, we can move this mountain. I bet you there's a bunch of people who said, yeah, right. You really expect that? I bet you they said, yeah. Like, okay, we can pray together, and we can hope that, maybe a strong wind blows that day, or that, an optical illusion happens. We wouldn't be expecting no mountain to move. And I bet you people said, you're aiming too high. As I'm sure some of you are saying the same thing right now. But here's the thing. There's no such thing as too high when the people of God are united together in prayer. There's no such thing. God removed the ceiling. He said, if the people of God, united, individual life of prayer, praying together, everything we do in the name of the Lord Jesus, there's no limit. There's no ceiling. 2,000 people can be converted in one day. Fishermen can speak in funny languages. Anything can happen when everything is done in this unity in prayer. So whenever you think, whenever you start to see those limits, go back and ask the guys who move the mountain whether it's possible or not. Go back and ask those guys, what happens when the people of God, forget about the people of God, when my little small circle, when our group changes from just being a nonsense group to being a united in prayer kind of a group, and then that group kind of spreads to that group, which kind of spreads to that group, and then all of us is kind of united together. And you'll see. Believe me, there's a great power that is present, and you have a great privilege in your hand. You have something very, very good in your hand, which is God has given you this power to have, like I said, even mountains can move, okay? But we got to do our part. The result? Okay, go back to the Wizard of Oz, and we'll see what the result is. What can happen?
Let's get out of here! Look! Emerald City is closer and prettier than ever!
The woods, you're out of the dark, you're out of the night. Step into the sun, step into the light. He's setting it for the most glorious place on the face of the earth, for the sky. Hold on to your breath, hold on to your heart, hold on to your hope. March up to the gate and build it up.
I wanted to end with that image because I wanted that to be like what sticks in your head. That is how we should leave here. The next step on the yellow brick road is not that we're just walking together, but that we lock up like they were doing. Okay? And then you'll see, like in, you know, like go with me on this one, how they were skipping down. You'll skip through life. Okay? Singing funny little songs like that and stuff like that. Okay? But you'll see, I promise you, that when we unite together in prayer, and our unity is more than superficial, and it's not just nonsense unity, you will see the difference that it makes. There's a special power there, and if we're committed to continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in thanksgiving, then look out for what's going to happen next. Okay? Let's stand up for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, because you have given us a great power, and you've given us a great privilege, and you've given us a chance. Really, dear Lord, you've given us a chance that there's no limits in life, that we can live almost like on a different plane than anyone else. We know, dear Lord, that when the people of God are united together, and united by prayer, and united in the bond of the Spirit, we know, dear Lord, that there's nothing. There's no temptation, there's no obstacle, there's no bad thing, there's no nothing that can take that down and can hurt that. Lord, we can only imagine what would happen when all the people of God is united together. I pray, dear Lord, that you help us on this path, just starting small. Help each one of us to be committed to our individual life of prayer. Help us to pray in our small groups, and then help it to like be contagious and expand to other groups, and to be so that everything we do is done in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, for your great love for us and for willing to give us of your very self and give us your very power. We thank you for that, dear Lord, and we pray that we can make the most of that. Pray, dear Lord, for a special blessing for our gathering here, for all those who ask us to remember them in our prayers. Pray for our church, for our Father, Boone of Shoy, and Tony Rini, and all those who ask us to pray for them. Through our Lord, our God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and through the intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, and St. Mark, and all of your saints, hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.